We have been talking about seeking God and what is involved in our seeking the Lord. We have seen that man's primary purpose in this world is to seek the Lord. And we have said that one of the main ways that an individual, each of us, is to seek the Lord is through a study of His Word. Yes, we gather for worship. We are to seek the Lord as we gather for worship. We are to seek the Lord as we sing together. We are to seek the Lord as we pray, both corporately and privately. But we are to seek the Lord in a primary way through His Word. And that's why we have classes morning and evening for all ages to study the Word of God. That's why we gather together in times like this to hear the Word of God being taught and proclaimed. And I'm not the infallible teacher of the Word of God. Only the Bible is the infallible interpreter of the Word of God. So if I slip, you can tell me that. I'm not going to be offended if you tell me I'm wrong. I surely won't. I need to be corrected like anybody else does. But our primary purpose is to look at the Word of God and see what God is saying through that Word. And as we study the Word of God, as we seek the Word of God, as we seek God through His Word, what God may do as we study that Word is illumine our hearts to take away the bias of darkness which may exist within our hearts, so that we see the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what this illumination is all about. And that's what our text this morning speaks of in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Look at it with me, if you would. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's get the immediate context here under our belts if we can. Paul is speaking about the Word of God here. He's speaking about the gospel. In verses 1 and 2 he says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Paul is talking about the Word of God. He's talking about truth. He's saying that the Word of God is truth. We dare not adulterate the Word of God, but bring truth. In verse 3, he says that this Word of God is the gospel. And even if our gospel, he says, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You see, the gospel, we understand correctly, is the message about Jesus Christ. The message of Christ dying on that cross. The message of Christ being raised again from the dead, the message of Jesus Christ ascending into heaven and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the message. This is truth. This is the Word of God. They are all connected, you see, and Paul is bringing them together, the gospel, the truth, the Word of God. And this is, I think, as we should understand it, objective truth. Jesus Christ did come, and the story of His coming is a relaying of the history of what took place when Jesus Christ lived in this world. And so it is objective truth we are talking about, something that we can lay our hands on and speak about. And Paul says that this gospel is veiled. Again, verse 3, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." And what is the problem? Verse 4 tells us, "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they should not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The minds of the unbelieving have been veiled. The problem is not with the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. The problem is with the minds of the unbelieving, with the thinking apparatus of the unbelieving. That's where the problem is. A veil lies over their minds. And what is this veil but a darkness brought by the enemy of God, by Satan himself. And he has interposed a moral bias in the minds of the unbelieving so that they may understand the gospel all right. They may see that Christ died for those who have sinned in this world, but they reject that proposition. That's the problem. And so Paul says in verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. He says we preach a message now. The message is the truth of the Word of God. It is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done and who He is. And two things can take place as the message goes forth, as the message is received. Minds can be blinded. That's one thing that can take place. Verse 4 tells us that again, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Minds can be blinded. But the other wonderful thing that can take place is that minds and hearts can be illumined. Verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a wonder it is. The God, Paul says, who said, let light come out of darkness. Who said, let the light shine. In the beginning, this God who is the creator of all and who is himself light, Paul says, shines in our hearts. Look at verse 6 again. For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shone in our hearts. What is the human heart? Well, the human heart encompasses the mind, according to Scripture. And the way of access into the human heart is through the mind. The human heart also encompasses the emotions and the will. But if we first address the emotions, or if we first address the will, we don't gain proper access into the human heart. Proper access into the human heart is through the mind, and that's why the devil blinds the minds of the unbelieving. But God, as we study the Scriptures, may illumine our hearts, may shine in our hearts to alleviate the blindness, the moral bias, the darkness of the mind. And I want you to pay particular attention to the way the apostle phrases the work of God, how he describes the work of God. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, the word which is here translated light may also be translated, interestingly enough, illumination. God has shone in our hearts for the purpose of illumination. For the purpose of illumination. To give light. That's why God comes. Terribly important for us to understand this, folks. And again, as I at least attempted to emphasize last week, when the illumination comes, when God shines in the hearts for the purpose of illumination, what is it that is illuminated? Well, that's a valid question, isn't it? What is it that is illuminated? Now, you've all heard the joke, haven't you? The doctor in the doctor's office puts the instrument in the ear and says to the child, well, I can see right through there. We hope that when the illumination comes, But that's not how or what is happening. That there is a light just shining through so that there is nothing there upon which the light may shine and actually illumine. Look at the text again. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give illumination, to illumine the knowledge of the glory of God. What is it that is to be illumined? A certain knowledge of the glory of God. Now, how does that knowledge get there in the mind if it is going to be illumined? You know as well as I do that the only way it's going to get there is if you read the Word of God, if you study the Word of God, if you sit under the teaching of the Word of God, and the Word of God is placed in the mind and in the heart. How is a young man going to keep the way of God? Only by hiding the Word of God in his heart, right? And when that Word of God is present and the illumination comes, obviously there is something there to be illumined. And this is exactly what our text is talking about. The illumination of the knowledge. Now notice how he puts it. The knowledge of the glory of God. We may have an understanding, a knowledge of what Scripture says, but we may never see the glory of it until the light dawns, until the illumination comes. And this is the problem with an awful lot of people. They know what the Bible says. They've read the Bible. And you can talk to people on the street and they'll tell you, "Oh yes, in Sabbath school or in Sunday school, I remember that story. I remember it very well." They've heard the stories, many of them. But it takes the illumination of the light of God shining in the heart so that we come to grips with the glory of that story, the wonder of that story, the beauty of that story. You know, a man hanging on a cross in agony is not a pretty picture. Sometimes we portray it as a pretty picture, but it is not a pretty picture. And the only way we really begin to see the beauty of that picture is when the light of God shines in our hearts and we see the glory there, the glory of God. And notice how Paul goes on. Verse 6 again, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts for the purpose of illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God." And how do we gain the knowledge of the glory of God? Where does that knowledge of the glory of God come from? Paul says it comes in the face of Jesus Christ. Where do we see the glory of God? It is in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Sure it is. But now let me ask you, where is it that you see the face of Jesus Christ? Where is it that any of us can see the face of Jesus Christ? Right here. In this book, in the Bible. That's where we see the face of Jesus Christ. We could take Isaiah 53, for example, which portrays in intimate detail the crucifixion of our Lord. And we see in that a picture of Jesus Christ. And then in the Gospels, what do we see? We see those Old Testament prophecies, so many of them. Psalm 22, another tremendous picture of Jesus Christ. We see prophecies like this in the Gospels fulfilled. Jesus Christ actually coming on the scene, living His life, dying and rising again, and those prophecies being fulfilled. We see the face of Jesus Christ. And in the epistles, the letters of the Apostle Paul, we see those prophecies and that fulfillment being interpreted for us, fleshed out, given to us in more detail so we may understand the face of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Revelation, what do we see? Jesus Christ in glory. And what awaits those who see His face in the Scriptures. And folks, when the illumination comes and the Word of God, which we have studied and which we have learned, is illumined in our hearts, we begin to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something this morning. Has God Himself shown in your heart, has He, to illumine the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Has He done that? Boy, what an important step in the way of salvation. What an important step. What does this mean practically? Well, the question persists, doesn't it? And I'm not meaning to step on anybody's toes here. But the question came up even last Sabbath evening. Can a person really be saved without the Word of God? No. What is it that is illumined in our hearts but the message of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? And how are individuals going to come to faith in Jesus Christ? They've got to hear a preacher. And Paul says if they're going to hear a preacher, the preacher's going to be sent. Has to be sent. How are they going to hear otherwise? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How imperative that it is for us to be teaching the Word of God. You know, as I was going over this, I was again thinking to myself how important it is for organizations like the Gideons, for example, to be distributing the Scriptures, to be distributing the Word of God, and how often they are prohibited in various places from distributing the Word of God. How important it is for portions of the Scriptures to be distributed. It's amazing because you read the testimonies of those who have been prisoners of war, for example. And just a scrap of the Bible they've gotten a hold of. Just a scrap. And they've gone over that scrap of the Bible. And they've read it and memorized it. And they've come home out of that situation changed people because God has illumined their hearts to the glory of the gospel through that little scrap. And there are stories of men in Vietnam who have been prisoners of war. And what have they done? Oh, yes, some have doodled on the walls and done that sort of thing. But there are others who have painstakingly written verses of Scripture on the walls of those cells because the Word of God is so important. and illumined in their hearts, it has changed their lives. Oh, it only comes through the Word of God. And so how important it is for us to proclaim the Word of God. How important. How important it is for us to bring these children that we do week by week to classes so they hear the Word of God. And it ought to be our priority to bring them the Word of God and encourage them to memorize the Word of God and pray that God will shine in their hearts to illumine the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But you know, there's an interesting phenomenon which is taking place in our society today in Christian circles. And that is a seeking for the experience of illumination without the Word of God. I'm going to attempt at least to talk more about this, but here's how I see it. Suppose you do believe in illumination without the Word of God. What does this mean? Well, first of all, it means that somehow you believe that there is revelation today from God outside of the Scriptures. But you don't need this Bible, that it is just the illumination you need. And that somehow that illumination is bringing with it a content or message. That's not what the Scriptures tell us. There is a shining in our hearts to bring illumination upon the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And folks, I think that's very important. Because I'll tell you what. Can happen, and I believe does happen. There are individuals who seek illumination, all right, when they are not seeking God. And they're going to get that illumination. And it's not going to be God. Now, you may quibble with me on this, but I remember very well a fellow in the army who had a near-death experience. You've read about some of these, haven't you? Near-death experiences. Well, I know a fellow who had a near-death experience like this. He was struck by lightning, literally. And the last he remembered was looking down in the room and seeing his body lying on the floor, and he was moving away from that body. A lot of people have these near-death experiences. This fellow happened to be revived. A lot of these individuals, when they have these near-death experiences, will report that off in the distance through a dark tunnel they see a light, a warm glow, and they are drawn towards that light. And then they are revived. They are brought back, as it were. The testimony of an individual who is caught up in the New Age movement, or was caught up in the New Age movement, was this. You know, I got deeply embroiled in this New Age movement, and I read a great deal, and I discovered in my reading that this light at the end of the tunnel in these near-death experiences was Lucifer. Now, I don't know about you, but when I pass from this life into the next, I want to have already had the illumination of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so that when I pass from this life, I pass genuinely into the presence of Jesus Christ. not into the presence of the devil, who is good at pretending to be an angel of light. You see, what we're talking about, dear friends, is seeking God. We're talking about seeking God. And it is in the process of seeking God that He is pleased to bring illumination on the knowledge of His glory in the face of Jesus Christ. But we can be just so far off center and seek an experience rather than God. And we may get that experience and miss the living God. Oh, let it not be the case for any of us here. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 tell us? For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, may it be for each one of you that you will seek God with all your heart, and He will bring that illumination which reveals the glory of Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, this might be kind of heavy stuff, but oh God, spare each one of us, oh Father, we pray, from any kind of deception in this matter. And oh God, bring your illumination as we seek your face. And carry us on, oh Father, as a people who do seek you with all of our hearts. And for those who need that illumination, I pray, Father, that you'll bring it, that they'll see the glory of Christ. For those who have been illumined, O God, and they do see the glory of Jesus Christ, I pray that they will continue in a life of seeking all of that glory and finally be brought into it in heaven itself. May that be the case, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.